I'm John.
And I'm Ron.
And I'm Jason. And this is Digital Divination on the No Direction Network.
We are back for episode 149 of Digital Divination.
Great. And moving right into our topic, because this is Thanksgiving, or at least near to it when we're recording, and right even nearer to it when this comes out, we thought that we would talk about the things that we're thankful for. And as has been the last couple of things last couple topics we've approached, we've done our top threes and maybe some honorable mentions. I don't know if you guys have any honorable mentions.
My honorable mentions, I'm thankful for big round numbers. Easy to divide by five numbers.
Yes, yes. Well, I want to specify, we're going to say gaming related things we're thankful for, because we could have an unlimited number of things to be thankful for. So, you know, we have to pare it down.
Yes, of course, family, friends, blah, blah, blah. But gaming-related things we are thankful for. And I think we'll do the top three and interrogate one another about our top three choices, as we have done in the past.
Terrible. You make it now, I know, so forceful.
It is. And I think that, John, I know you have your three, like, carefully curated and selected and ready to go.
I wouldn't say carefully created or curated. But I have selected three. Is that
excellent?
Okay. Yes. All right. So my top three gaming related things I'm thankful for. The first one, and it's kind of cheating, I'll say, but it's for all my gaming friends that I have to play with that have helped me get through some very challenging times. You know, we all went through COVID here, obviously the last couple of years, but even prior to COVID, I went through my transplant, and it was great having support of this group of friends that I developed through gaming that I wouldn't have had otherwise. I was just telling my wife today that it's like, wow, I'm so glad that I have all these gaming friends from various groups I can see in person or online and do stuff with. It really makes for a much more fulfilling life than if I didn't have all these wonderful gaming friends. So that was my number one. And you could say friends and family, for being thankful in general, you would be, but I'm saying my gaming friends. My number two, and it's kind of related to this a little bit, but I've had this wonderful opportunity to write in the gaming industry. I set out a long time ago with an interest in becoming a freelancer, and I am literally turning down work now because I have too much freelance game design work to do. And that's kind of exciting, and it's fun stuff. And as my wife likes to say, she really enjoys it when I find hobbies that pay me something. So she thinks that's okay. So it's a lot of fun to have that opportunity and to connect with a lot of other people. Like, I just met somebody new on a Discord that we're both working on a project and I had never met before, talking about stuff. So that's kind of my number two thing, really being able to, to do that kind of freelancing. And then the third one, and this is kind of, again, I'm kind of cheating a little bit. I've had this opportunity to do three wonderful gaming podcasts now, including this one with two of my great friends. And like, this is nearing 150 episodes. Our Intrepid Heroes, I just posted episode 172 up for that. And for my presenting, which I haven't done for a while now, that has over 105 episodes. And, to be able to have this opportunity to share and learn, but more importantly, I'll say, is like through Intrepid Heroes and through my presenting, I've been able to meet lots of people in industry, and get to know them. And I feel very, very fortunate that when I go to conventions or I interact with people online, or there's like so many people that I've been able to connect with, get to know, and make more friends in the industry and get more freelance work because of that. So this whole thing is kind of related, but especially you two, it's like I get to talk with you two several times a week now because we have several things that we're doing, and it's just kind of a fun connection that this podcasting has brought to me. So
that is really sweet.
Yeah. Those are three kind of gaming related things I'm very thankful for.
Oh, those are a lot of fun.
Very nice.
So should I,
Jason?
Yeah.
What's that?
I was going to say I could have done just the same kind of list, right? In fact, I was wondering whether to put freelancing on my list. I went in a different direction. Yeah. Do you have overlap, Jason?
Oh yeah, I mean, a lot of ways I would say mine are very thematically similar what I was going to say. I'll go ahead and get into the details, but like, yeah, my number one is my gaming groups, my gaming friends, my gaming groups, you know, I feel very privileged to have gaming groups, the Intrepid Heroes group, having great fun with that, running that. And they all sort of give me little different things, I would say, basically. Right. Intrepid Heroes gives me a chance to sort of like kind of do stuff for kind of an audience, right? People out there watching it and, you know, trying to have a good fun with that and trying to like spice up the way I do GMing, that kind of stuff. My other gaming group, the other Tuesdays, I do with some people that I work with, some people that we used to work with, another friend of ours, playing Pathfinder Second Edition right before COVID hit, went virtual to finish off Strange Aeons. We finished Abomination Vaults just like a month ago, and now Luis is running us through Fist of the Ruby Phoenix. We've had like one and a half sessions for that, and that's going to be really fun because I'm going to get to play a character who is weird and just in the way that Pathfinder you can do in Pathfinder. I'm playing a poppet, the Tsukumagami heritage of poppet, because I'm a drum, and as a bard, I play my face, basically.
Play yourself as a puppet.
I play myself as a puppet and a drum. And so I'm just like, yeah, come on, let's do it. And I'm trying to be the cheerleader for the fighting group, basically, like, you know, cheer everybody on. You can do it. You can do it. Joe is playing a metal gorilla. Two of the players are bringing their character forward from Abomination Vaults. And then you remember Joanne. She's playing like a reincarnated dragon magus, basically.
Do you have a monk in your Fist of the Ruby Phoenix game?
No, we don't.
See, we had when we played, and I had a great GM, guy by the name of John Godek. You might know him. I had every intention of playing a fighter and seeing what a fighter was like when we showed up for our session zero for Fist of the Ruby Phoenix.
Yeah.
But one of our friend Mark, had already made a fighter. I'm like, well, fine. I guess I'm not going to make a fighter. That's fine. I can let Mark do it. And then people were going around talking about what they want to play. And it got back around to me. And I'm like, is nobody playing a monk in the monk themed adventure path? Well, I guess I'll play a monk then. And I had a great deal of fun playing a monk.
See, I'm already to my other, my third of four groups I want to mention. Some of my friends back in New York who I used to run Pathfinder for. We got through tons of APs. Our friend Safe is who's Pathfinder freelancer from Smaller Safe. I'm sorry. And in that group is also Chris Kimball, who does a lot of art for Pathfinder. Great. I've kind of helped them get into the industry, but I play with them kind of virtually, of course, obviously, and time up. But I'm playing a monk in that one. I'm playing a halfling monk who's also the healer and the cook. But I'm basically going like around just like, hey, and we're running through something that Safe is sort of making up. It's all Mwangi Expanse kind of like something's going down. We did a bunch of, he did a cool thing where he like some terrible fire burning is coming down or whatever. And he did a little thing. So what we'll do is we'll go back to some of the older campaigns and play like what those people are doing now in, or not those people, maybe new characters, but sort of in those areas, like what's happening in Ustalav, what's happening in the Shackles, you know, like kind of stuff that, and seeing what's happening for this apocalypse that he's throwing at Galarian. Wait,
are those your characters from
old characters from, some of them are playing.
That's
some of
really
them are,
neat.
Not necessarily old characters, but like related to the old characters. People are playing like, oh, I'm the cousin of the people who, you know, we were playing and when they did Carrion Crown, which sadly I missed doing Carrion Crown. That was like right when I moved out to Seattle. I did some videos for them though. I basically did the reading of the will. I was pretending to be the dead professor that sort of kicks off the AP. Anyway, that's a occasional Thursday. I don't make it to that one a lot as much as I'd like because the timing is often conflicts with the final group I'm going to mention, my every Wednesday night group, which we rotate GMs. We've been playing for so long now. It's been like at least 12 years, I'm pretty sure.
Wow.
And it is just good people, good fun. We play weird campaigns, little brief 5, 6, 7, 8 sessions, always changing up, always changing DMs, sometimes going back to some old stuff. Like we keep going back to our old 1920s English countryside murders, mysteries, or, you know, or every Halloween we play vampires in the What We Do in the Shadows vein. So that's like super grateful for them because because we're just kind of goofing around, you know, we're barely playing a game at that point. At some points, we're just kind of like making fun stories, right? So that's number one. I lumped them all together like John did, so I didn't not show any favorites.
Let me interject. Let me interrogate. Yes. You had mentioned. I was really excited to hear about Brindlewood Bay, which is sort of the murder club kind of game.
Yeah.
Is this the group with which you do Brindlewood Bay, or is that something else?
We did Brindlewood Bay just last month, late September, early October, for our, when we go around about Halloween times, we start doing spooky one shots. And this was actually more of a spooky two shot. Brindlewood Bay is fun. It was fun. I'll admit that I didn't fully interrogate, like, because we're only doing it for two sessions. I didn't like dive deep into the rules. But we played it and everyone, I think, had a good time being grannies. We have, a fun array of like, this one's the hippie granny. And here's the granny who had two grannies who were like both named Mavis, like Mavis B and Mavis P.
Super granny name.
And yeah. They were identical, nearly identical tracksuits and weird stuff like that. You know, and then the more fancy grandmas and, you know, all that stuff. Yeah, that was fun. And we might go back to it. I don't know.
Well, that's neat.
We kind
so
of
gaming
like,
friends also.
Yeah. Gaming number friends one also. Number one. Number two, in a similar vein, Sir John's, I'm going to say I'm pretty grateful for my career. I've done a little bit of freelance here and there this year, but you know, I did a lot around this time last year. Tailbreakers is coming out in February. Check it out. Anyway, this year though specifically was pretty big for me, especially Gen Con. You know, we're talking about
like what? Like what might have come out of Gen Con?
This book here came out of Gen Con. The first like lead, like for Pathfinder hardcover lead design meet that I did worked on.
What really was really great? What did you do? What did you do mostly in there?
I made sure it all happened right. And okay. I worked on one of the classes, one of the two classes that's been being received pretty well. A big sort of almost turnaround from the playtest. Over a year ago. Basically, you know, and people seem to like it, and I'm really happy about that and really, really pleased about that. Starfinder Infinity Deck also came out, which I worked on. That's when it came out of Gen Con. So there's two kind of big things that have been one of them brewing in the background for a while and is now a book. So I'm pretty happy with that. I get to make, you know, Ron, you know, we get to make this weird stuff up for a living, make up fantasy stuff. And, you know, it can be weird. It can be kind of grueling sometimes. It can be a job, but also it's I don't know. I can't think of any other job that I kind of would want to have, honestly. Making stuff up. The third thing that I'm thankful for, I would say this year is also kind of related, but not related to me at least. It's really like there are just hundreds and hundreds of cool RPGs out there that exist. And I feel like there's been like at least in the past like, couple of years, like kind of an explosion of people like really doing neat stuff that I just enjoy reading and enjoy trying to play when I get it, and maybe sometimes not, and you know, and going through all the rules the way they should, but you know, having a good time playing it. But you know, just sort of experiencing all the, and especially in the sort of indie market, I would say there's just been a explosion of stuff that I can't even read it all. You know what I mean? Like, you know, I there's just so much out there that I can't get to it.
Forget
stuff.
Forget play it all. You can't exactly. Even read it all. Yeah.
Just getting it, you know, just kind of figure out what to get and what's going on, and is just very exciting. Very exciting.
Kickstarters are my kryptonite now, man. I got to be careful.
Yeah.
I kickstarted a new board game just today. I'm part of the, yeah.
Nice. Yeah, I mean that too. Like, yeah, the board games that are coming out also super great. I have you know, got some board games back there, but like which probably don't show up in frame, but I kind of stopped buying them, the physical stuff, because I've been sort of, you know, doing a lot of play virtually, but then like getting a lot of the stuff that's you know, recently, you know, that comes, not old stuff, coming out on Board Game Arena, which is a great website that is practically free. It costs like, it's free most of the but if you want the premium membership, you can pay like $36 a year. Like, basically it's like, so
wow,
it's so cheap to play the, you know, get the premium on that. And once one person in your friend group has the premium membership, you can play all the games with them. So I'm really grateful for all the sort of ability to play games, not unrelated to the, I guess, the gaming group from number one. This is just sort of like the existence of all these games that are out there.
The existence of games. I think that's,
yes,
good.
I'm thankful for existence.
All right. Well, what about you?
Games. I've got.
What about you, Ron?
Yeah,
I've got a little bit of overlap with the last points. Let me go at this in. I'm going to go at this in a slightly different way. I love and cherish all my gaming friends, but that's not on my list. The way I went about this was this: things I'm thankful for. My number one thing that I'm thankful for is 5th edition Dungeons and Dragons. And here's why. I've been able to get, over the past couple of years, I've been able to get into a lot of games very easily, because everybody kind of knows and can jump into Dungeons and Dragons. And even when I'm doing some things on kind of a volunteer basis, right? Sometimes, you know, hey, you know, I can run stuff at your community center. Great. All these people know how to play Dungeons and Dragons. I'm like, I too know how to play Dungeons and Dragons, right? I have, I've had to dial back, and I've not yet dialed back enough, but I have 10 active games I'm in. Some of them are only monthly, but I have 10 active games I'm in, and half of them are Dungeons and Dragons games. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them are either people who are experimenting with the Dungeons and Dragons rules to kind of get at some old classic adventures. I just wrapped up a Village of Hamlet 5th edition game, which is a lot of fun. And I get to play right now, we're in Expedition to the Barrier Peaks, 5th yes. edition, which is a lot of fun. So half the games I'm in are Dungeons and Dragons. The second thing that I'm grateful for are the phenomenal stories of Pathfinder 2nd edition. Because I will say, I'm in five different D&D games. Three of those are D&D games in which I am running a Pathfinder story. Wow. I've got two where I'm running the Stolen Fate adventure path, two very different groups, and one where I'm running Season of Ghosts, which is working very, very well. That has been a lot of fun for me to be able to have, okay, well, I can take to be able to see know D&D well enough to be on the fly to be like, well, I have this awesome story that's going to unfold and give you kind of you players a lot of not just a lot of neat things that happen, but like a lot of, even in an adventure path, a lot of narrative control over what you emphasize or what you don't, or what you pursue or what you don't. And I know I have a confidence that there's this huge framework that fits the whole story in that is going to be very easy for me, not just today, not just 3 months down the road, but like, you know, a year, 2 years down the road. And then I've got a couple of Pathfinder 2nd edition games I'm in. My second longest game, longest running game I've been playing in is a Strength of Thousands game, which we realized we're coming up on 3.5 years. We've been playing that so long that we started it when I was at Paizo. We played all the way through when I was at Wizards, and now we're still playing, and I'm back at Paizo again. So that's been a lot of fun. In the middle of book five. And it's been roughly the same group throughout. Now, admittedly, it is taking us forever because it's one of those Friday night games where everybody wants to spend half the session kind of talking about the week that happened. And these people have become a lot closer over the, you know, almost 4 years now that we've been playing. And that's really what part of the real joy of it, right, is that I've got a story that I can tell, but it's also the people around the table are having so much fun with each other. And it's great to have so many of these stories that permit that. I do have to say, while I'm on number two great stories for Pathfinder 2nd edition, I was really excited to be part of an office campaign when I was at Paizo last time, which ultimately became the standalone adventure Malevolence, the Haunted House standalone adventure. That was from a campaign that I played in under James Jacobs. And I have cajoled James Jacobs into starting another game now that I am back, in which I play a guardian.
Yes.
So I have been, we have not yet gotten to second level. We have played exactly twice after our we had session zero and we played twice. And I spent a chunk of the first session unconscious, having successfully taken hits for everybody.
Oh boy.
And in for more than half of the second session, I was at one hit point and still able to like mock people like, come on, bring it on, bring it on. Yay. And I think one of the points we had somebody that hit me, but for only one hit point, which my resistance brought to zero. So I did not go down. Anyway, it's been a delight. That is a fun class to play, let me tell you.
Joe's Metal Gorilla from Fist of the Ruby Phoenix. He's playing a guardian, basically.
Okay.
Right? So I'm getting to see it in action, and he's just like, the first time we had a fight was basically like, I'll take that damage. I'll be like, oh, thank goodness. I'm just a little tiny drum. Don't let anyone hit me.
You're the only one that gets to hit you. You're the drum.
Yeah, exactly.
But so very thankful for the great, great stories and the great storytellers that I'm really privileged to be among at Paizo working on Pathfinder. And I have to say number three is this is a little bit of the overlap, Jason, which is the and everything else. I'm really lucky that if you've been counting, you're like, well, Ron's got three other games, right? Those are all different systems. I mean, a game of Daggerheart that is a lot of fun. It is really neat to see the way a game that approaches similar topics of kind of the role-playing game, but from such a different and flexible way that it can be translated to a lot of different genres, a lot of different rules, but keep the same kind of, I feel like I'm an adventurer chassis. And that's been really great. It is also John Godek who runs us in Daggerheart. But I'm in a Pathfinder 1st edition game. We are monthly making our way through Skull and Shackles, and that's been a ton of fun for several years. But the longest running game, when I look, I think the longest running game that I'm in, coming in at just over 5.5 years so far, we've been playing 13th Age with friends online. And the thing that's been really neat about that is to see 13th Age original rules, and we've been doing kind of the alpha transition over to the new rule set, which is not quite available yet.
Okay.
But as our GM's been very good about, as it gets updated to, like, here's the latest version, that's what we pick. So we've gotten kind of used to having rebuild our... I've gotten used to having to rebuild my wizard a couple of different times. Some things I am very, very sad to see go, but I understand that power level concerns means they've gotta go because they are a little too tough. But it makes me excited to be in both a really long-running game with a really deep and compelling story, but also to be able to see rules evolve. And that's actually pretty rare and pretty special, I think. So I've been really thankful that way. And you can see through all three of my things, there is oblique thankfulness for the people that I have the privilege of playing with. Yeah. But I wanted to frame it in a specific way about the games that I have.
Nice. Awesome. Daggerheart is one of the ones I have to check out at some point, I'm sure.
I think you would like it a lot.
Yeah.
Well, it reminds me a lot of...
I want to try out Draw Steel.
Oh, yeah. That one, too, as well.
That's another one that I'd like to try, yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, you were saying, John, I interrupted.
Yeah. You remember when you ran us through Scum and Villainy?
Yeah.
Yeah. It reminds me much of that.
Remember that there's some the person who worked to help design Daggerheart had like, no, it was not Daggerheart, but a lot of the person who works at Darlington, right? Darlington is a character in some Jane Eyre. No, oh, never mind. Anyway,
plus Darlington County is a great Bruce Springsteen song. Anyway,
there you go. Anyway, it has said that they've gotten some influence from John Harper's Blades in the Dark, which is what Scum and Villainy is based on. So, yeah, I could see that.
Yeah, yeah. So, anyway.
There's a lot of ways that can go, too. I want to say, I don't know if you heard, John, but there were some releases at some information that came out at PAX U that Darrington Press was doing about Daggerheart, some of their upcoming releases, some of the third-party releases, including a character who gets... Like they're not some not fearmonger, but they when they succeed with fear, it gives them an advantage. Like they can steal a fear from the GM to become a hope.
Yeah, no, I didn't see that.
Yeah. That's kind of a cool way to invert the
right.
Invert that. I never when I was doing a lot of the Genesis system that became the Edge of the Empire and Age of Rebellion and stuff like that. The dark side, light side points you'd use. I didn't see anybody there that could like, I'm going to play with the Game Master's tool a little bit, right? But there's some design space there that I think is really kind of neat.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that, I saw that there was a whole bunch of stuff announced and I saw some of it, but I haven't had a chance to really, I'm just barely keeping my head above water right now. So, you know, with other stuff.
Sure. Yeah. You're doing stuff.
I believe it. Okay. Well, that is our three. I don't know where to go from it. John, you're so good at running these things. I don't know what to do now.
John, cut up the turkey for us. We've said our thanks. Carve that turkey and give me a scoop of that mashed potatoes.
I did all those things today, by the way. We had a Thanksgiving today that I just came up from. 10 people around my table. And it was great. I carved the roast beast. I got to carve the turkey. So nice.
What? What are your favorite things about Thanksgiving? What's your favorite thing to consume at Thanksgiving? One thing.
Leftovers.
Okay. Oh, that's a strong choice. I'm changing my answer to leftovers.
There's something about leftovers, and just from a nostalgic point of view, there's something about eating the cold turkey.
Yeah.
Even like later that day, like in the evening, just getting like, we had some biscuits left over or whatever, or some other bread situation, and just kind of putting a little cold turkey on it and just eating that. But yeah, just eating it again later is always tasty.
Yeah. I have to agree. I think leftovers are because I don't like turkey itself, roast turkey. It's just, we have it at Thanksgiving, but we usually don't make it any other time because it's not. Doesn't seem that wonderful, though. I'm going to smoke a turkey in December because I want to see how that tastes. So I got a Thanksgiving turkey I'm going to smoke afterwards.
All right. It sounded like a real threat. I'm going to smoke a turkey.
Well, because I smoke the heck out of that turkey.
I might have somebody over to test that. That's all. I will say that if I were to talk about what is being served at Thanksgiving during the meal, not leftovers, there's something I've always liked, and it's probably a really dumb thing, but I never have it any other time of year. I like stuffing, and I never get stuffing at any other time of year. Stuffing with gravy is just something I enjoy. You know,
and it's we were sitting around the Thanksgiving, and my son looks up from his plate like he's had some great revelation, and is like, I just really like stuffing. So he's there with you, John. Yeah. I got to say, he's with you.
Yeah. All right. Well, I hope. Go ahead, Ron.
No, I mean, I was just going to confront you, John, because the thing I was going to say before I went to leftovers was turkey, right? That is the centerpiece of the meal. It is a delight, and I love it. It's not one of the things I think about turkey, though, is there's not. Smoking a turkey sounds really fun. Sounds like that could be fun because, I mean, like a good turkey is done kind of the same regardless. If somebody's bringing a corn dish, that could be a lot of different things. A green bean casserole could be a ton of different things. Even mashed potatoes can be a ton of different things. But turkey is the one, it is the lodestar. It is the linchpin around which the Thanksgiving meal turns. And I give it its appropriate due as a result.
Very good. Very good. Well, I just wanted to wish both of you and all our listeners a happy Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm. And to you.
Without them, we wouldn't be here. So thanks to all of the listeners.
Yeah, none of us said that. Oh, shoot. Was that not gaming related? You said podcast, John. That counts.
You said podcasting, but
that's right. That's right.
That audiences are a very important part of a podcast.
And it was early in the podcast, so people who haven't made it this far, they still got thanked by listening to the first few minutes at the beginning.
Right. Good.
All right. Well, gentlemen, as always, it's been a lot of fun. I'm John.
And I'm Ron.
And I'm Jason. And this has been Digital Divination.